Ephesians chapter 5, we're continuing our series. Got two more weeks through our series in the book of Ephesians. I just want to say thank you to Brother Ben Scott for bringing the word here last week. Thankful for you, brother, as he brought the word from Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. We're continuing this morning in Ephesians 5, and we're going to look at the second portion of it. We're going to look at verse 21, but read through chapter 6, verse 4. These set of passages are, in some circles, pretty contentious, right? Because it speaks to the home. It speaks to the family. But we want to take a look at what the Lord has to say through his word, through Paul, about, man, what the home, right, ought to look like. And so with that being said, Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read verse 21 again, and then read through chapter 6, verse 4. So if you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there. And if you don't have a copy of God's word, it'll be on the screen there. This is what the word of the Lord says. So, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Therefore, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. So therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And then chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Won't we pray one more time together? Dear Heavenly Father, God, this is your word. We ask and pray that you would speak to us now. Lord, I pray that we'd be a people, Lord, in these specific relationships, Lord, that God, honor and glorify you by following, Lord, what your word has to say about them. Lord, we'll give you all the honor, all the glory, Lord, for what you're going to do. God, it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Passages like this passage that we just read are imperative in light of the culture that we're in today. The reality is there is an attack right on the home. There is an attack on the family. There's an attack on, what constitutes as being right in regards towards gender, in regards towards marriage and marital relationships, in regards towards intimacy. There's an attack on all those things. And so before we begin walking through this text here, I just want to share, right, some faith statements pertaining to some topics that we see and that we just read here in the text. I just want to give the first statement on gender identity. That's attacked in our culture. The reality is, according to what the Word of God says, there are two genders, male and female. God made them male and female is what it says in the book of Genesis. There are two genders, and those genders are very different. Male and female are very different. No one is greater than the other, by the way, but they are different. I want to make a statement right on the fact that gender is a part of God's divine design. Right at the end of the day, that God created us, male and female. Secondly, I want to make a statement about marriage. God's design for marriage, right, is one man and one woman for one lifetime. That's his design for marriage. That's what he, man, created marriage for. And then lastly, I want to make this statement, right? Appropriate sexuality, right, is one man and one woman under the confines of marriage for one lifetime. That's appropriate sexuality. And so I think it's important for us to make sure that we've got those nailed down. If you're in here, you're safe for a while, you probably know that, understand that. But it's imperative in this culture, young folks, it's imperative in this culture to know and understand. That's what the Word of God says. Now, on this topic, I understand, right, that there may be some folks in here that, have sexual sin in their past, right? Perhaps walked through divorce, broken up, beat up. And I'm here to share. I'm not trying to condemn anybody today, right? There is grace, mercy, and forgiveness, right? If you've walked in that before, right, there's healing that's there. If you've walked through that before, and you can run to the Lord today. But we've got to understand, right, what God's design was for, man, gender, marriage, and sexuality. We've got to nail that down first, make sure we're on the same page. On that note, right, when we speak to all those things, we've got to understand, right, the ethic that Paul speaks about here when he speaks on marriage and the home in law. That's being attacked. And Paul, man, is writing to a context where it was attacked as well. First century, Ephesus, ran by the Roman Empire, man. Hey, that time, man, was this ethic that Paul was preaching on was totally countercultural to what the people in that day were living in. Right? Hey, women were used and abused. Men, right, fathers were more domineering than they were loving. Right, the Ephesian people, right, that worshipped this goddess Diana, right, they worshipped a woman. And they participated in all kinds of licentiousness when it came to those things. And so what Paul is trying to do is remind the church, hey, listen, though the culture looks like this, right, hey, God, man, has a specific design that doesn't look like that. It looks like this. And he highlights the specifics of that. He speaks to, right, the marriage, and he speaks to the home. And those are the two relationships that we're going to look at here in this text. I've entitled the message today, Radical Relationships. Radical Relationships. Now, we're going to look at these two relationship dynamics that Paul speaks about here, starting with the first one, which is highlighted in verses 21 through 33. Right, this relationship, the marital one, husbands and wives mutually choosing to invest in one another. In order to understand submit looks like, because we can just go ahead and be honest, right? We look at that and we see that word and we think, man, hey, that's got a negative connotation. In order to understand what Paul's trying to highlight, you've got to read verse 21. You've got to see that there, where it says, hey, everybody choosing to be folks that submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that includes the marital relationship. The reality is marriage works when both parties, right, male and female, right, those that are married to each other, when both parties in Christ mutually choose to submit to the Lord and submit to one another, commit to one another. That's how marriage best works. So it's not this whole, you know, dynamic of, hey, the wife bowing down to the husband. No, Paul gives man, precedence in talking about verse 21. The reality is all of us ultimately should be, hey, submitting to Christ first and foremost, and then us having to make the choice to mutually submit to each other. It's a both and, like the old adage goes, right, it takes two to tango at the end of the day. And so the reality of the marriage and the marital relationship is that, man, hey, we've got to choose to mutually invest in each other. Mutually choose to invest in each other. So we see that word submit in verse 22, and you may say, again, yeah, this is a negative, got a negative connotation. What does it mean? What does that word mean? Well, the connotation in the original text, right, it's a military term, which literally means, right, to line up under your commanding officer, to respect the chain of command at the end of the day. And that one another that Paul talks about there, right, hey, it speaks to a reciprocal relationship. Right, so it's understanding chain of command and lining up, right, to, and following your commanding officer. Well, here's the deal. Again, like I just mentioned, Christ is the commanding officer. Hey, husbands in here, you're not the commanding officer. Christ is. Christ is. We both, in a marital relationship, hey, we both, man, submit to Him. We follow Him. Follow Him. And then we choose, right, to, man, mutually submit to one another. Jesus is the commanding general. We each serve Him. And by serving one another's best interests, we show deference to Christ. And so this husband and wife relationship, man, let's look at the two parties that we see here in the text. We first off see here Paul, man, he spoke to the wives. Speaks to the wives here, man. We see the wives, right, their investment in this relationship. Right, the wife is called to, man, mutually, this call to submit to their husband, right, is this call to follow, man, the husband's loving leadership within the marriage. Right, God's design at the end of the day was for the husband to be, man, the leader in the home. And so the question is, husbands, hey, first and foremost, are you living a life worth following? First and foremost. But secondly, right, as the wife, man, hey, the call, man, is to, man, follow his loving leadership. Doesn't mean that the husband is greater or that the wife is lesser. Speaks to just different roles within, man, this call to marriage. I love this quote from Kostenberger, a theologian here that speaks to this. Says this, while some may view submitting to one's husband's authority as something negative, a more accurate way of looking at marital roles is to understand that wives are called to follow their husband's loving leadership. And different roles, man, but equal in terms of importance. A way that you can think about this is comparing it to a slow dance. When I was in college, my first semester, I bombed real bad, so I needed to take some classes to raise my GPA. And so I took a class called ballroom dancing, where we literally learned how to ballroom dance. Learned all the dances, you know, from salsa to tango, right? But one of the other dances we learned was the dance called the waltz. And for some reason, right, my professor, she said that she saw something in me. I just wanted to tell her, hey, I'm in this class to get an A to raise my GPA. I wasn't trying to, you know. She saw something in me. So she wanted to challenge me. She paired me up with a girl in the class that was legit a professional dancer. And what I had to do was I had to learn how to lead her in the dance. And she had to follow. Like I mentioned, hey, you know, before, man, it takes two to make the dance effective. In the same way, that's how we can view marriage. One person leads and one follows. One initiates and the other responds. Man, both are necessary, man, for the dance to happen. And when both fulfill their roles well, it is a beautiful thing to behold. So wives, hey, you know, choose to submit to, man, your husband's loving leadership. Because that's how the Lord, man, created for the home to be. Just real quick, just some words here you see. When you see here for the in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. That word head there simply speaks of God's ordained lines of authority. Right, the husband as the leader, man, hey, you're called to lead the home. Don't abdicate the responsibility. Hey, don't choose to throw it away, man, because, hey, you want to do your own thing. No, when you said, I do, the call for you, man, is to follow and to lead in that way. Not going to be perfect, man, but choosing to in Christ through His power, man, to lead out. It doesn't mean, right, that the man is the brains of the home. Doesn't mean that all that happens, man, must go through dad. Right, doesn't mean right, doesn't call for us to live a life like a chauvinist, if you will. It's not that, man. The call for us is, man, to lead. Submission is not subjection. Headship is not dictatorship. And hey, when you husbands in here, we're getting ready to talk about y'all in a minute. Paul has a lot more to say about, you know, y'all as husbands. I should add myself. I'm about to be husband in a couple months. Then we can talk more about us than he does the wives. So for us, man, hey, the call, man, is to lead our wives well. And the call for the wife is to follow him. At the end of the day, I love this quote here. You know, what the man craves and desires most and in relationship is respect. What the wife craves, man, most is that of love. And that's why Paul, man, highlights the different calls here. And so, man, wives, your investment, man, is to choose, man, to live a life, man, choosing to respect and follow your husband's lead. Secondly, we see the husband's investment. We see the wife's investment first, but then secondly, we see the husband's investment. Look back at the text. He's got a lot more to say about husbands. He dedicates, man, nine verses to it. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Man, hey, we see the husband's investment in this marital relationship, man, is to choose to love. Husbands, we're called to love our wives. That word love is that word we know well, agape. Right, it's more than just the world's version of love, i.e., man, hey, it's a feeling, and when I don't feel it anymore, I'm just going to leave, I'm going to head out. No, it's a call to self-sacrifice. Man, hey, it's a call to lay your life down, if you will. It involves both affectionate feelings as well as sacrificial actions, like that of Christ, man. The call for us is to follow the example of Christ and, man, to love our wives. Real quick, how do we do that? What does that look like? Well, hey, we've got to understand that it's sacrificial, first and foremost. It says here that, hey, you know, hey, live in such a way that you're willing to lay your life down for your wife. Right? John 15:13, right? Christ did that for the church. He was willing to lay down his life for the church, for his friends. In the same way, we ought to look to live a life like that. Not about self, but about, man, hey, her and your family. We don't live for selfish purposes. Don't live, hey, just for ourselves anymore whenever we commit to him and commit to this marital relationship, man. We live, man, for them. Sacrificial, right? Secondly, hey, it's sanctifying, this love it's talked about here. Washing in the water of the word, right? That word sanctify literally means to set apart, to live set apart, right? To help. Essentially what Paul is saying here is this, man, hey, as husbands, you love your wives well by leading them to Jesus. Here's a question. Hey, are your wives, by the way that you live your life, husbands, are they more in love with Jesus or less in love with him? By how you lead them, are they more in love with Jesus or less? As the husband, you cannot personally atone for your wife. Her walk with God is personal, but we show love for our spouse by encouraging them to seek Jesus more and more. Hey, we show, man, we live a life of example, not just in the church house, but at our own house, right? And that motivates them and pushes them, man, to fall more in love with Jesus. At the end of the day, hey, husbands, we set the temperature of the house spiritually. And so the call for us is to love and lead in that way. Sanctifying. And then thirdly, right, this kind of love is satisfying. Satisfying. Look at what it says there if you continue reading. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Man, when it comes, hey, to love, hey, it ought to be satisfying. Hey, the way, man, right, that you love your wife physically, emotionally, right, spiritually leading them. Man, hey, it ought to be satisfying to her. She ought to not want to look at, hey, hello, look at other wells, right, or look in other places to find love, man. Hey, the call for us as the husband, man, is to, and to cherish and nourish and our wives. And this directive for satisfying love might sound self-serving for the husbands or demeaning for the wives, but it's not the case. This directive makes perfect sense in light of the fact that the two have become one flesh. Just as you long to satisfy your own needs, husband, satisfy your wife's needs. Just as you long for intimacy, joy, security, health, peace, companionship, and community, provide them for your bride also. And so the question begs, hey, husbands, how are you nourishing your wife? And how are you, men, leading them and closer to the Lord? How are you leading them? Husbands, man, hey, we set the example. And as a leader, choose to serve, invest, and love. And in wives, hey, choose to continue to follow in the leading of the husband, right? Obviously walking with Jesus yourself. And hey, choosing to encourage and respect your husband as well. So that we all can glorify the Lord. We see, man, the husband and wife relationship talked about here. Radical, man. That wasn't seen, man, as true in the day of Ephesus, man, in the culture there. But Paul was calling the Christians to a deeper ethic. But also we see here, man, secondly and lastly, he speaks to, man, the relationships at home, parents and kids. Right? He makes, man, the statement here, the second point, parents and children, man, we've got to make it a priority to live in harmony unto the Lord. Chapter 6, right, he highlights the relational dynamic between parents and children. And again, he's speaking to a culture, in a culture where, man, the parental relationship was broken. Hey, if your child had any deformities in Roman culture, hey, you could just cast your child out. If your child had any issues or illnesses, hey, you could just cast them out. Hey, you know, if your child was struggling, you can just choose to disown them in Roman culture. They didn't have the kind of care and love, right, that God calls for us to have whenever it comes to being parents to our children. And Paul says, hey, listen, don't live like them. Rather, man, choose to make it a priority to live in harmony with them. Look what he says pertaining to this relationship. He first speaks to the children. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. First sub point there. Hey, children, man, choose to obey your parents. Interestingly enough, this text could apply to older children, even adult children, if you will, as it's custom there in that time, man, for the fathers in particular to have ownership and parental guidance over their kids until they were, you know, in their 20s. But more than likely, he was talking to younger children there, those that lived within the home. And he's telling them, hey, obey your parents. You may see this, you know, kids in here, I know we've got a few of them, but hey, listen, we obey, man, our parents, man, because, hey, it's what's best for us. I'll never forget, you know, when I was, you know, 15, 16 years old, man, my parents said, hey, Irv, you don't need to be going out wandering out at night. Had a buddy that was at my house. We decided we wanted to prank another buddy. Bad idea. Ended up being out past curfew, ended up getting arrested. And I remember thinking, hey, mama does know best. She does know best. And having to deal with the repercussions of that. I remember, you know, time and time again, man, my dad challenged me, hey, Irv, listen, you need to read. You don't need to just be, hey, you know, be playing the game all day. Or you don't need to just be outside all day. No, you need to read. You need to study. And thinking, oh, man, dad, hey, I'm good. Man, school's easy. I'm all right. Man, dad knew best, because once I got to college, it was a whole different game when it came to some certain subjects. Listen, as children, man, hey, we need to obey our parents, even though we may not want to, right? Because at the end of the day, hey, God has placed them, right, to care and to take care of you. And the call for you is to follow them. Here's some a list of reasons why, man, we ought to choose to obey our parents. And parents, you know, why we ought to choose to remind our kids to follow us and obey us. Number one, hey, they pay your bills. Hello. They pay your bills. Yeah, you want to act independent? Hey, let me tell you, at your age, hey, it ain't all that it's cracked up to be. Got to find a job in this economy, too. Ooh. Hey, it ain't. It ain't all that's cracked up to be. Choose to man obey and follow them in their direction because they pay your bills. Secondly, hey, they give you gifts. They give you stuff that, man, hey, you don't deserve. That Christmas gift that you think it's yours, well, it was yours because your parents gave it to you as a gift. Hello. Thirdly, more importantly, hey, they love and they pray for you. Care about you enough to do that. Hey, they're there for wisdom and advice. And ultimately, man, they love you beyond measure. So children, hey, choose to obey, man, your parents, man. Choose obedience. And that's how we walk in harmonious relationship. And then secondly and lastly, parents, hey, choose to bring up your children in the way of the Lord. It says here, fathers, mainly because in the context there, Paul is speaking to a certain, you know, group of folks, right? Fathers, like I said, at that time were domineering, right? They were jerks to their families. Hey, they were good at provoking their kids, right, to anger. But this could speak to parents across the board. Hey, parents, it here, choose, right, to bring, man, your kids up in the way of the Lord. Don't provoke your children in anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. At the end of the day, hey, parents in here, you are called to be parents first. Called to be parents first. And to invest and pour into your kids, giving them God stuff. I know in today's culture, right, the call for us, hey, man, hey, we just want our kids, hey, to like us. We want to be BFFs with them. Hey, the time is going to come for you to be that. But what they need, man, is a parent that instills discipline in their life. A parent that invests in their life. A parent that's willing, hey, to have real conversations with them. And ultimately lead them to Jesus. Parents, hey, you're called to be parents first. So, man, hey, choose, man, to live in such a way. But heed the warning that Paul gives here. Hey, don't provoke them to anger. Hey, what that looks like is, hey, choose not to be, man, that parent that pours out all their emotional baggage onto their kids. The stresses of work, right, you bring back home and you take it out on your family and your kids. Don't be that parent. Hey, don't be that parent, hey, that chooses to abdicate their responsibilities. And whenever something happens, you get mad. Right, and you take it out on your kids. Don't be that parent. But rather choose, man, to lead them in the way of the Lord. I'll close with this relating to parenthood. I heard a story about a seminary professor who was at a conference, and he spoke about the man that was leading the conference and, man, how smart he was, how well-versed he was, man, in the Word, and how much he knew, man, about the subject that he was teaching on. And so that seminary professor went out to lunch with him and just went, you know, to brag on him. Say, hey, man, dude, this is awesome. You know a lot, man. How did you get so, you know, proficient, you know, in you know, what you're doing? And it said that that man mumbled under his breath, well, I sacrificed my son. And the professor said, you know, what'd you say? He said, man, you heard me. I ended up sacrificing my son. I spent my whole life, right, trying to be the next big scholar, trying to be the next big speaker, that I just abdicated my responsibility in raising up my son. And now he's homeless and on drugs out in the street. And the professor said, man, that story, man, it stuck with him. Stuck with him. He knew that at the end of the day, hey, you can give, man, your child, you know, Jesus stuff. Obviously, it's up to them, man, to choose to respond, trust in Christ, and to live that life. But he understood that, man, hey, the pursuit of this life, better career, bigger job, wasn't worth, man, sacrificing his children and investing in them. So the takeaway for us, we got kids in here, is this: wherever you're at, hey, choose to take the call to invest in your kids seriously. I know we got folks in here, man, hey, because of your job, because you, hey, you may be a part of the United States Army, you're gone for multiple months a year. Thank God for technology, right? Hey, make the most of those times, man, while you're gone. Those in here who have kids, hey, make the most of, hey, don't sacrifice your son and daughter in the name of career. Radical relationships. Hey, it doesn't matter how long you've been married. Man, the call for us is to continue to grow in our marriage by choosing to ask the Lord to help us model what Paul says here. Hey, whether you have kids, older kids, younger kids, trying to have kids, man, the call for us is to model. And the call that Paul gives us here as parents and children in here, call for us is to model what Paul says here. Hey, let's look different than how the culture looks when it comes to these type of relationships. Hey, let's set the example of what God says, man, for folks that are out there. Because I don't know if you know this or not, hey, your marital relationship, it preaches. And let's choose to be folks that walk out and live out these radical relationships.